Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you saw by the title of my sermon, today we're going to look at Jesus as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, and the beginning and the end. Now that was what we had in our reading today. Now I find these two really interesting. Revelation 1:8 says that he, the Father, is the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. But at the end of Revelation, we have Jesus who says he is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and the beginning and the end. The book of Revelation is designed as an arch. And in an archway, you have two supports with all the stuff in the middle. You with me? The very first chapter of Revelation, God the Father says he is the Alpha and Omega. Chapter 22, it's Jesus who says he is the Alpha and the Omega. Now here's where it starts getting interesting. It's Revelation 1 verse 8, where God tells us he is the Alpha and the Omega. Verse 8. Eight verses from the end, Jesus tells us he is the Alpha and the Omega. All right, now you remember, I've talked to you before about numbers in the Bible and the importance that numbers have. All right, number 8 is very significant, such that it is used 73 times in the Bible. The number 8 is the number that's used for resurrection and regeneration. In Bible numerology, 8 means a new beginning. It denotes a new order or creation and man's true born-again event when he is resurrected from the dead into eternal life. Now, if you hadn't counted the verses, you wouldn't know about the 8 at the beginning of Revelation, 8 at the end of Revelation. That's all right. They had us do that kind of stuff at the seminary all the time to try and find, you know, hidden meanings like that. But, born again in a new creation. Now, we're going to look at this again some more in a moment. Now, the rewards mentioned in this reading from Revelation are for the faithful service of Christ's stewards. And that's from Matthew 25, verse 21. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Folks, aren't we promised a reward for our faithful service both to God and Jesus? I think so. God uses the divine term, Alpha and Omega, 4 times in Revelation. Okay, 1:8, 1:11, 21, 26. But what is that fourth time? Well, you know where I'm going with this. It is not God who's the focus of the fourth usage, but it is Jesus who is the focus. Now, the authorized King James Version, the way to the tree of life was open to those who kept the commandments. But it's very comforting to me to read in the revised version that this blessed privilege is for those who wash their robes. This is from John Gill. Now, John Gill is a Baptist theologian from England, 1750. He's one I've talked to you about in here before. I really like his theology. Now, listen to that again. That verse in 1:8 says that the way to the tree of life, or excuse me, not 1:8, but the one at the verse 22, or chapter 22, the way to the tree of life was open to those who kept the commandments. But it is very comforting to me to read in the revised version that this blessed privilege is for those who wash their robes. Now we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, notice the combination of various titles of Christ in our Revelation reading. David's Lord, David's Son, Morning Star, the Son of Heaven's Day, the Coming One, for whose quick return the whole creation waits, and the water of life, of which whosoever may drink. Again, we have that focus on creation. All right, now, 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. ESV. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Now that's the same verse in the King James and in the ESV. Why the difference? Well, you aren't going to know that unless you look at the Greek. There's two important Greek words in this text. One is plaunontes, which means to wash or to launder, and stolas, stole, robe. So wash your robes. Okay, those words are in there. Now, why the King James Version decided not to translate it that way, I don't know. But I know when you read it in the Greek, that's what it says, okay? Now, remember last week I wore robes, okay? And on that robe, I had that red and white thing, okay, which is called a stole, okay? Why does a pastor wear a stole? Well, it's a robe, okay? Robes are awarded for service to God. Revelation mentions two articles of clothing. The first one is garments. At baptism, we have usually hand the mother a white handkerchief afterwards. The garment, that means baptism, salvation. Okay? But Revelation, especially here, tells us about robes. Why about robes? Robes are awarded to the saints for their service to God. So the robe has got a little bit deeper meaning than the garment. The garment we all get at the time of our baptism. But the robe has to be given for service. So when the pastor is ordained and makes that commitment to God, he's allowed to wear the stole, the robe. Okay? I think, you know, that's interesting, but what is the meaning for us in this scripture? How do we unpack this? Well, we have both God and Jesus telling us that they are both the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. From our reading, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In the ancient church today, the last Sunday in Easter is called Brotherhood Sunday. And I thought about preaching about that because that's the focus of some of our readings and it's going to be the focus of one of the hymns that we use. But that focus, I think we just focused on brotherhood, doesn't give us the full meaning of what this scripture is trying to tell us. So God sent himself in the form of Jesus. Since God is Jesus, God is in Jesus, Jesus is in God, and they are both the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. We're going to do the Athanasian Creed on Trinity Sunday, which is in about 3 weeks, which is that long one. But it tries to explain what the Trinity is to those of us that really can't understand it because it's a God thing. But we know that Jesus and God are the same, but yet they're different. Okay? In the text it says, you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. Well, who's the us? God and Jesus. Well, who then is the they? Well, it's you and me. So why is this the case of this passage? Well, let's look at that why. Again, Alpha and Omega are mentioned 4 times in the book of Revelation. And again, what is the hidden meaning of numbers in the Bible? We looked at 8. Now this time we're going to look at 4. 4 is interesting because it's 3 plus 1. 3, perfection of the Trinity, God and Jesus and Jesus and God. The plus 1 for 4 is the creation of the Father. Remember, I've talked about creation 2 or 3 times today. There's a reason for that. Because Jesus tells us that we're in God and God is in us. Well, creation, why number 2? It's actually number 2 why, okay? We were created to be in God's service. And as a reward for this service, we receive everlasting life with them in heaven, as well as we are rewarded with the robes of salvation that are entering into heaven for our service to God. Today is the last Sunday in Easter. We have 7 weeks in the celebration of Easter, 49 days. So a focus for all of us in the blessings of the meaning of the season, the joy we receive, the blessings of eternal life. Now stop and think about that for a second. 49. We just talked about 4. What is 4? Trinity and creation. What's 9? 3 is Trinity, perfection. 9 is the triple perfection. See, all of these things relate back. It's one of those things, do I believe in numerology? No, they did. Okay? And so what happens in Scripture, these things are in there because the people sitting there in the first century would understand all of this. You know, we sit there and it goes right in front of us. But it's there. That meaning is there. All right, why do we receive then those robes that are mentioned in Revelation? Well, our witness to the salvation earned for us on the cross, sharing this blessing with our words and actions and times for the service of Jesus. Well, today we celebrate our creation in this service. God is in us just as we are in God. Jesus is real clear about that because he actually says it twice in that one reading. Okay? So in closing today, I want to share with you this concept that we hear all of the time. But I don't think we really recognize and realize its meaning. And it's Emmanuel. All right, stop and think about that. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us, right? O come, Emmanuel. Here's the rest of the story. Emmanuel. We say that, but those words are Hebrew words that are made up of other words, okay? El is God, okay? Iman is the man, or in, it's not the article. How am I going to say this? God with us. So Iman would be us. And then there's that last on, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. On. In Hebrew, has got two meanings. It's either with or in. So we could translate it as God with us or God in us. And I went back to that today because Jesus talks about that, doesn't he? He's really clear about God is in him, he's in God, and they are in us. Which means, flip it around, we are in them. Okay? It's a partnership that's been given to us by God and Jesus. And that, I find, really explains what is so important about this reading today. It's not just the brotherhood, which is important, but it's God acting in us, with us, and through us. Sound familiar? Which is where this meaning in Revelation is coming from. So, God is in him, that's Jesus. Jesus is in us, and because of the cross, we are in him. This is most certainly true. And the people of God respond with, Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.